All right, I want you to turn this evening to the book of Job, chapter 29. Job, chapter 29. I recommend you read the whole chapter, not after I cut it off, but we're just going to read the first 7 verses and then use that to go somewhere else. Job chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, and when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street." Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the good songs that were picked tonight. Thank you for the word that you've not only given to us, but preserved for us. Thank you for knowing that what we hold in our laps is, in fact, your written word to us. If we were living in times past, these would be spoken. And I hope that we take them as spoken words to our hearts. We pray that you would use the message here tonight to instill in us the very things that are needful for the Christian life. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that, as always, I might stay out of getting in the way of what you want said and what you want kept quiet. And so we look to thee both in the delivery and in the receiving of your precious word. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 2. Oh, that I were in months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Job had a yearning, a longing for how it was in the past for him. I don't think he's alone in that. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I've talked with people over the years, and they talk about how they wish for the spiritual condition of not only our country, but of saved people, that it would be like it used to be in the past. And Job is setting this up, and the whole chapter goes through item after item the way it used to be. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 6, the Lord has been speaking to the nation of Judah and Benjamin for 3 chapters. And in this chapter, he denounces their horrible state of backsliding. Let's pick up here in verse 11. "Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand unto the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of her daughter of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." So He's saying all this to come to the place where he said, you know, you're sinning and you're sinning and you're sinning, and in your sin there's absolutely no shame whatsoever. And in there, since there's no shame, there's no conviction, there's nothing. It's like a black, blank wall with nothing on it. And so then he says in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So, the old paths, days gone by. With them, it wouldn't be days gone by, it would be years gone by. How it was in the past when you were receptive to the Word, when you were obedient to the Word. And he talks about the good way, and to walk therein, and then it will result in rest for their souls, or peace. And how do they respond? What's their answer? But they said, we will not walk therein. Defiantly. No, we're not going to do that. We don't want to go back to that. So when we speak of those days of old, let's look at how it was technologically, because I don't disagree I agree that these were in times past, but I disagree that they were necessarily not good things. In the history of our country, we didn't always have cars. We didn't always have horse and buggies. We had horses, we had mules. Transportation was mostly foot traffic, and if you were able to have a horse or a mule, then of course you did. You had no indoor plumbing. You had no indoor water. And of course, you had no air conditioning. I always like to mention that now and then, because we always have the battle with either it's too hot or it's too cold. Well, for me, I think the answer is let's just get rid of the air conditioner and open the windows. This is Florida, and let's, you know, and people get out the fans and stuff, but this is how it used to be. Can you imagine coming into church and just opening the windows? And so, you know, all the things of the old days, we talk about the good old days and so forth, and there were a lot of things lacking. No electricity. So we couldn't, if we were going to have night services, everybody'd either have to have a kerosene lamp or a candle. And that would always be kind of dangerous to be able to read at night. And it's no wonder people's eyes got so well worn back in those days. But we don't generally refer to them as good old days. But when we didn't have washing machines and so forth, I was in Home Depot picking up some stuff for the house and here. And so the cashier said, would you like to buy one of these big boxes of Tide, probably Tide Pods? And they're like 50% off. I said, no. I said, they don't clean worth anything. They don't get white things white. As a matter of fact, you don't get any. She didn't deserve this, but I'm sorry, but I said, the government has stepped in and taken out things that clean, and it stepped in and taken out things that kill. I mean, it used to be you sprayed bug stuff down and bugs died. You spray bugs down now, they, you know, and they don't even do anything. And so I talked to an exterminator. I'm getting off subject. But he agreed, and he says now everything is bait. And, you know, you bait them and so forth. But the spray always worked, and they've taken that out. So in the old way of washing, you got things clean. And you got white things stayed white. And not anymore. It's ridiculous. I mean, you might as well just go trash the washing machine, go back to the washboard, and go the old way. Really? I mean, if you really want them to be clean, you hang them out on the line, and it's, except for this time of year when all those little oak squigglies come all over. I mean, it smells better, it looks better. Anyway, on the other hand, or maybe I should, let's put it this way, in conjunction with those days, in the old days, there was character in families. There was. I mean, you just didn't have the dysfunction that you have today. There was character in our churches and in our schools. There wasn't all the stuff that we've got going on today. And there was character even in most of what called itself justice. Justice back in the good old days, supposedly, wasn't perfect, but it would be horrified at what calls itself justice today and what's taking place. So today, most of what calls itself character could do like what Billy Sunday said in one of his messages, make a black line on a piece of tar paper. And if you're familiar with tar paper, it's jet black. But the character is so bad that you would see the mark on the tar paper because the character is so bad. It's shocking, really, in its magnitude when you see the lack of character that's called the character. But we should not draw our happiness just from things in the past, nor things in the future. Many people they just concentrate and very one-dimensional, and all they want to talk about is the rapture and going home to be with the Lord and being in heaven and so forth. And they're not happy about talking about anything in the present, just like things in the past. And so you and I should enjoy our todays, lest we have no joy in the present whatsoever. If, like the fellow that I'm thinking of says, I wish we could go back to the way it was. Well, we can't, can we? And we've got to be here. We're here today. And so we want to make the best of what today brings. And we can still be like something or someone that you hold dearly in the past and still be happy, right? But we can't be dependent on bringing the past here because it's not going to come here. And if you know Scripture, it's going to get worse. And we have to be a people that are prepared to hold the line and not only doctrinally, but practically as well insofar as our Christian life. If all we do is whine and wail because of what we see in the present as opposed to the past, then we're not going to be happy. So I think it's important that we all need to remember or to pay attention to what I'm going to say. But today should be the good old day that you will want to remember tomorrow. Today should be that day. Because you are either going to reflect on today tomorrow in a good way or a bad way. You say, what a rotten day that was yesterday. Or it was a good day. A lot of times we'll leave after a Sunday and we'll be talking and so forth and people will say, this was really a good day to be in the Lord's house. Well, that's good because we're living right now in the present. Tomorrow we'll look back and say the same thing. So if we make today good, then you'll want to remember that tomorrow. But if we make today bad, you're not going to really want anything to do with that. Now, it's true that some of the past days were not good, but bad. There's some things you and I cannot change. Some of those things happen physically. There's other circumstances that are involved. And Job was experiencing very difficult trials that were not his own doing. If you read chapter 1 in the beginning, you know that Job was an upright man. He was a dedicated believer. And there wasn't anything that you could say, well, Job, you brought this on, even though his friends believed it. And the devil, you know, said the only reason that he's done this is because you've got a hedge of protection around him. You know, I pray for the hedge of protection around our church. And it's important. And the Lord has answered that year after year after year. Not only insofar as theft, vandalism, our inadequacies when we leave doors open, unlocked. It's just an amazing thing. One time we left the second shed door wide open for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before I saw it. Everything, it's like the Lord has put up bars in there and everything's just protected. And I'm grateful for that. That may not always be, but these are things that would be of our own doing, and that's the other side. There's other things that we can change. We can be more alert. We can check everything, just like you check at home, hopefully. And we experience some difficulties that we bring on ourselves. And then we wail about that and try to pretend like we didn't really bring them on when we did. So I want to talk about making today, what time we have left in today, one of the good old days. Even though we're not talking about yesterday, we're talking about right now. And so the first one we find here, and go with me to Acts chapter 16. Hopefully this is not anyone that in our group here, but you know that I don't know. And therefore we want to make sure we bring this out. All right, we know Paul and Silas are in jail. There's an earthquake. The prisoners the jailkeeper is in fear of his life that the prisoners will all get out. And in verse 30, it says, "And brought them out, Paul and Silas, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" The first thing that I think you have to bring out is that you be saved and know for sure you're saved. And that'll make tomorrow a good old day. More than a good old day, a good old forever. You know, we know that the result of not being saved is eternal condemnation from John chapter 3:36. And so we want to make sure that we're saved. If we have to examine our lives and see whether we're in the faith, examine your life and see if you're in the faith. And if you're not, then get saved. And you'll be glad you did forever. And you'll look back. And if you can remember the date, and some people say you got to remember the date and the hour. If you can remember the day, then you'll look back on April 2nd, 2017. And it'll be a fond memory. It'll be a great memory to look back on. All right? Here's the second one, Romans chapter 12. And I'm trying to make these as practical as possible because of what we see going on in the everyday lives of God's people. Romans chapter 12 has to do with being correct in thought and deed today. It's not enough for tomorrow and say, okay, I'll work on that. No, it has to happen now. Verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In our desire, it should be the will of God. Lord, I want what your will is. Sometimes like when I got diagnosed, and it was not a good diagnosis, I got before the Lord and I said, I've always said, and I've told you that, Lord, you can do whatever you want with me, just so long as it's in your will. And it, obviously, it should be. And if that is to take me home, that's fine. And if it's to leave me here, that's fine. And you have to be sincere about that. That's my desire, God's will. Well, then I said thought and deed. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is a challenge of challenges throughout the entire Christian life. Every thought, because nobody sees your thoughts. Nobody knows your thoughts but God, unless you blurt them out. I was thinking, and then you reveal what it was. All right, if we're going to be correct in our thoughts, then we better be correct in our thoughts now, today. It's important. And in our deeds, of course, in concerning the Word of God. If you would desire and do and think on what the Bible commands us to do, today would be one of the good old days tomorrow. Think of going through an entire day, an entire church service, with our thoughts brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You have to concentrate on that. It just doesn't happen. You have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we already know that there's going to be opposition from within, and sometimes even from without, because we're very visual people. We see things and it affects us in a bad way, and that the thoughts start beginning to circulate, and they're harmful to what that verse says, and really to what this passage says in being correct in our thoughts and our deeds today. Living sacrifices. Not dead sacrifices, living ones. All right, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. So Denman will quote this verse often, and I know what she means by that, knowing the history of the Denman family. But verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As much as I know about Sue, she lives that. Sue with her stroke, Sue with the loss of her husband 3 years ago, this she still lives this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to be cheerful today. Rejoicing. In Philippians 4:4, it's a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Sometimes we're torn up inside, but you can still rejoice. Who are we in Christ? We're one of God's children. We have eternal life residing in us. Heaven hasn't reached its full fruition. If anything happens to us and we were to die, we would go home to be with Him. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And look at all the ministries that the Holy Spirit presents to us and in us, if we would just allow Him to do it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What's the second element of the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be. Our disposition should be a cheerful disposition, not a glum disposition, because you take glum with you tomorrow and you look back and you look, this was not a good old day. This was a glumful day. Right. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. There's a way in which what I'm saying here is a good study to bring in the book of Psalms about a sweet spirit. And you can, I think, link the two together, because this is what, this should be our makeup. Philippians chapter 4. And look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word careful obviously does not mean be careless. It has something to do with being not anxious, not, we use the word worry, not worrying about what's going to happen. And because especially in things you can't change. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by, excuse me, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We are a people that should stay calm. Sometimes that's hard to do. Part of that is because we allow the old nature to be energized, and we react wrongly. Be calm. Pray. Meditate on the Word of God. In Psalm 131, you don't have to turn there, but you can. Psalm 131. We read, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Calm. And what is that talking about? It's talking about the great calmness of a child that's been weaned. And so this is what we should be today if we're going to make today one of the good old days tomorrow. And it's easy to talk about today and tomorrow, but really we're going to look back on tomorrow in a certain capacity, or are we just going to ignore tomorrow? I mean, ignore today tomorrow as though, okay, it's just part of the mechanics of life. You don't want the mechanics to take over who we are and what we are. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I want to just take the first part of verse 8. But I'll read the whole verse. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Draw close to God. Draw close to God today. I hope that there was something that happened this morning that prompted your soul and your spirit to be drawn closer to God. And that something tonight, even though it's very practical, would cause you to draw closer to God than you were before you came in here. Because it will result in the joy of fellowship with God. Isn't it? Do you enjoy fellowship with God? Hopefully you do. And with other believers. Do you enjoy fellowship with other believers? There's a lot of people who say no. Well, they're strange birds. They really are. Because we're related to each other. And you can't look at the relationship of family in a physical sense compared to the relationship of a spiritual family of brothers and sisters. We are one in Christ, brothers and sisters. We're all going to be in the same place forever. And we should enjoy that fellowship. It results in the joy of following Christ. And the joy of following Christ, guess what it is? Souls and fruit. Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Part of following the Lord is souls and fruit. Caring and having compassion upon those that are lost. Yes, they may be difficult to get along with. They may not be lovely. So what? We go after them. We try to get the gospel to them. We try to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and bring conviction, and we try to win them to Christ. We can't save them, but we certainly can get them to the place and show them to the place they need to be and encourage them to do what they need to do. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's the next one. First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Right, we need to be a people that are charitable. I know we can use the word charity and also bring in love, but if you're loving, you'll be charitable. If you're charitable, you'll be loving. You and I need to spend time with others outside of your little bubble that you have created. I've said this over and over again about the teenagers when I first took them on in Sunday school, and eventually came to the place where I saw they would come in, they would talk to no one in the church but themselves. And they would go out and talk to no one but themselves. And yet, they bought the line, hook, line, and sinker, that they are a separate entity of society. And they are not. And you are not. And as adults, I've often watched the same thing take place. I'll talk to these two people, or those three people, and that's it. Listen, we need to be charitable. We need to strengthen one another and support one another. How do you do that? I was brought to a house one time, and we were going out on visitation, and met a man and his wife and the family that resulted in us being very close friends, Linda, myself, and that family for years and years and years. And praying for one another, supporting each other, trying to strengthen one another. But how can we do that if we're standoffish? Say, well, I'm just not that way. Really? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. If you don't care for your brothers and sisters, how do you care for souls? Let's reverse it. If you care for souls, how do you not care for brothers and sisters in Christ? Christ said, if you love me, love one another. How can we love Christ if we don't love one another? And how can we love one another if we don't love Christ? I mean, I know I'm playing with this, but it's true. I mean, we like to be comfortable. Well, get out of that. And guess what? You'll be comfortable doing what the Lord wants you to do. It takes time. But it's important if you want to look back on today as one of the good old days tomorrow. Every joyful and charitable Christian is a people person. A people person in disorder. Just like we get the letter J for Jesus, the letter O for others, and the letter Y for ourselves, in that order. The Lord first, others second, and ourselves last. Which are we? Where do we place that? Do we create a Y J O? That's not a word. There's no joy in that. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now this, being saved for last, is just as important of all the others. But the thought life is critical and very challenging. So is this. being content. Content. A man took a survey, or he read a survey. I don't know where he got it from. I don't think it was a valid believer's survey, but he said it was. And so I have to take him at his word until I find otherwise. He said that 85% of the people that are involved in Christian marriages are discontent. That was 35 some years ago. Well, that shouldn't be. And if we will not look back tomorrow on our marriage or in many things, our lives, then we need to be content today. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Not just gain, great gain. Content. All right, I don't have certain things. I haven't been certain places. And fortunately for me, since my dad was military, I've been a lot of places. And some of the travel type thing has carried over, and we have moved several places in our lifetime, which allows our children to be in many different places, and sometimes they tend to carry that on themselves. This is the longest we've ever lived anywhere. But contentment, Philippians chapter 1 in verse 11. Does it bother you that you've not been to certain places? Does it bother you that you do not have certain things? It shouldn't. Be content with what we have. In Philippians chapter, what did I say? 1? 4. I meant 4. Philippians 4. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The Lord blesses you with plenty. You say it's so much more easy to be content. No, it's not. Because with more comes the urge for greater than more. People are, the flesh is never satisfied. Enough is never enough. And so we've got to get out of that idea and understand that whatever state we're in, to be content. Are you content with your situation? Or the state of your situation? Are you content with your supply? What I mean with that is food and raiment. Are you content with what the Lord has allowed you to have? Because, you know, content is not having what you want. Content is what is wanting what you have. And really, look at... There have been people through the years that are discontent that we're a small church. I'm not discontent for a small church. I'm content we're a small church. And if we got to a big church and it was the Lord's doing, I would be content with a big church. But I'm content with what we have. I'm content with the people we have. And we all have different spiritual backgrounds, and we're all doing things on different spiritual levels, and some are proceeding quicker than others, and some are dragging their feet. But we're all one family, and we're moving hopefully in the same direction, and we need to be content with one another, and we need to be content with ourselves if we're going to put all this to use. The good old days of today. Saved and know it. And let me broaden that and show it to other people. And how do you show it? By correct thoughts and deeds, which only you and I know on a very personal level. I don't want to know your thought life. You don't want me to know you don't want to know my thought life. There's one that knows our every thought, every idle word. And we'll give account for all that. Show it by our cheerfulness and our calmness and our closeness to God and our charity to not only ourselves but to others and our contentment. And if we would walk therein today, we'll have much to remember tomorrow, next month, next year, about the good old days of today. And it's important. I'm not playing with your mind. I'm not playing with anything here. I'm just saying, listen, we cannot look back and say, I wish we could have it like it used to be. It used to be totally different. If you've grown up in the 50s and 60s, this is not like that anymore. Would you want that to be back here again? You say, oh yeah, because it was much more innocent. Everything is fluid. And so you can't go back there because everything has become so much more decadent. And they don't acknowledge, they don't realize that if you went back to the 20s, then if you say it was always that much more innocent in the 1920s, and there were more people receptive to the truth, and that's true. I would like to see more people receptive to the truth instead of being hardened to the truth. But we can't go back. We're going forward. The Israelites wanted to go back. Why did they want to go back? They were delivered by God out of slavery, bondage. And they want to go back because it was hard in the desert. Well, some things in the Christian life are hard only because we resist and we fight. And the flesh wants it like it was before because it was comfortable. And so really, what am I talking about here? Let's get out of the comfort of the flesh to really the joy and rejoicing of the Spirit so that we can look at today in a good light tomorrow. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we come before Thee this evening very thankful for Your Word, thankful for the time we can spend in it, looking at these very few instances of really practical behavior and thought, mannerisms, attitude, which are very indicative of who we are or who we present ourselves to be. I find it difficult to imagine somebody content and constantly voicing discontentment. Just as the opposite is true as well. So Father, we're just looking for some genuineness, some honesty as we journey through this pilgrimage that we're on, one day looking forward to being with You, either through Your coming for us while we're still yet alive, or being raised first. Our bodies raised first, incorruptible, and meeting the Lord in the air. We're grateful for Your concern for us. I pray that some of that concern could seep into our very being, and that we could be concerned for each other as well. We're not watchdogs. We're not guardians of the actions and behavior of everybody else. We're Your children through faith in Christ. We have our infirmities, we have our failures, the whole package, because we have the old nature. But we also have the new nature, which is far superior to the old nature. And we need to get to the place where we stop allowing ourselves to be used by the flesh. How that must grieve the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we leave here tonight, we will remember this day, because we have determined that we are going to do these things, not tomorrow, but now. And that these good old days will continue to get better and better and better. We ask your will and your way and the invitation, and we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.